Triple J.
Matthew David Lewis, a.k.a. Neville Longbottom. G'day.
How's it going?
Pretty good, man. Third last interview of your Australian stay. How's it going so far?
It's been going good. It's going good. I mean, the weather's a bit rubbish, but yeah. Apart from that, it's been fun.
The interviews kicked off with Richard Wilkins.
That's right, yeah.
At the Powerhouse. Richard, you were here for the launch of the Harry Potter exhibition, which sort of officially opens in November. And Richard Wilkins was up on stage. It must have been weird, you playing Neville Longbottom in Harry Potter, who grew up on screen, talking to Richard Wilkins, who hasn't aged, at least in his face, since the 70s. Those plastic faces.
It's incredible. It's incredible. But he's he's a good journalist.
Yes.
He's good, and he's a good guy too. He's been doing the junkets for years, you know, and I go with that. I mean, even since I was a lot younger, he still looks exactly the same.
So since your very first interview 10 years ago.
He hasn't changed. He's one of the few journalists, because, you know, they get brought in sort of conveyor belts, mm-hmm. and stuff, and most of them, unless they're UK-based, you don't really recognise. But he's one that I've always remembered, because he's just... managed to look the same.
That's the trick. That's how you become good at journalism, if you always look the same. Brilliant. All right, well, let's deal with the opposite thing then, apart from Richard Wilkins, who is like your oldest Australian friend, I imagine.
He actually probably is.
That's great. Well, it's good to see a familiar face so early in your trip to Australia. But what about the fact that everyone's talking about, everyone, you know, when I mentioned that you were going to come on the show, everyone's like, oh my God, Neville Longbottom got hot. And if you go back to the first films, yeah, sure, you looked a bit silly, but that wasn't you. There was a whole bunch of makeup and fakery there, wasn't there?
In the first couple, that was definitely all me.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you can blame this on my parents. I just got a bit, you know, I started to grow a bit, mm. and I got taller and thinner, I guess. Totally unintentionally. It wasn't a plan. And yeah, I had to wear a fat suit and some plastic behind my ears to stick my ears out, some false teeth, all kinds of different things.
To hide the encroaching sort of maturity and hotness.
Well, I don't know about the hotness, but the maturity, yeah, definitely.
That's what everyone is talking about, though. So bits behind the ears.
Yes.
And was there a sort of teeth arrangement?
There was false teeth that my parents have now got back at their house. They've kept those. They're very, very weird. I'm not a huge fan of that.
You don't stick them in at Christmas time?
Not really. They'd like me to, I think. Go on, put the Neville teeth in. No, not really too keen on that.
But it is, I mean, the character you play does go on quite a journey, and people are saying in these last couple of films, you know, Neville really comes into his own. But back at the start, you know, Draco was picking on you. You couldn't use a wand. You couldn't ride a broomstick. You know, poltergeists were dumping stuff on you. In fact, I believe, according to one American Harry Potter person...
Neville starts off as really this sweet doofus who can't do anything right.
So...
what was that?
It was some, like, you know, American sort of Harry Potter TV show that I found online. Oh,
okay.
It's all about you, actually, that whole bit.
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely. That's right. I mean, that's how Neville started. He's this kind of shy, bumbling little boy who's bullied. He's terrified of his own shadow and... because of that, he can't do spells. And as, you know, Neville grows up, he watches Harry, learns from Harry, becomes inspired by him. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Neville is that despite his fear and the fact that he's not been very good at magic, he's always had this amazing courage, you know, because mm-hmm. he still tries to do the right thing no matter how scared of it he is. And we really see that in this final film, but he's matured as a wizard as well. So he's really saving the day and he becomes a bit of a hero. It's such a lovely message as well. Mm-hmm. I find it so inspiring. I've loved being able to play him.
That's what people were saying. Like, it is like the sort of in terms of, you know, people getting bullied at school.
Yeah.
It is a message that, you know, you stick it out. You know, learn to master your wand, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're there without wanting to spoil the ending of the movie. You're there right at the end, you know.
It's true. It's just great what Joel did with the character. And, you know, going to school can be pretty lousy for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of young people. And it just goes to show that it doesn't necessarily have to define you. You can still go on and be what you want to be.
Even if it is a magical school.
Even if it is a magical, there's still a bit of it there.
Matthew Lewis is in the studio. You've probably witnessed him coming of age on screen, which has got to be a weird thing for you for people to see watching the Harry Potters.
It's not something I'm too comfortable with, to be honest. Mm. It's just, my parents love it. Again, going back to my parents, yeah. They love all the Harry Potter stuff, and they love to be able to see us grow up and show off to the friends and stuff, the home videos that mm-hmm. Warner Brothers have very kindly put out on DVD.
The thing I was most stoked about for you and the whole young cast of unknowns 10 years ago, is all the amazing actors that you got to work with, like your Gary Oldmans, your Robbie Coltranes, Helena Bonham Carter, you even Rick Mayall, who was the guy dropping shit on you.
That's right, yeah. I mean, he was cut out of the first film, but he was there. Yeah. At the time, you know, I was a huge sort of Drop Dead Fred fan. And
yeah, I had no idea he was even in the film.
Exactly, like, yeah. A lot of people don't know, and... you know, having older brothers, I knew about like Bottom and the Young Ones and that kind of stuff and Blackadder. And so to come in and then they told me Rick Mayall was going to be playing Peeves the Poltergeist. I was so psyched for it. And he actually sat next to me at the read through as well.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he was a funny bloke, man. Really, really funny guy. And I guess when we were that young, we didn't really appreciate the calibre of actors we were working with until we got a bit older and he started to go, hang on a minute, Alan Rickman and Ray Fiennes, it suddenly just think, jeez.
Who's that Kenneth Branagh weirdo?
Yeah, yeah, you know, to us he was, you know, and then we got a bit older and we started to see Shakespeare and the stuff that he was so famous for. And you think, geez, this is a real serious business we're in here.
Who was the, like, of all those, and now, I guess, in retrospect, who was the one that you were most, like, in awe of or just sort of awesome time?
I definitely Rickman.
Yeah.
Definitely Alan Rickman. You know, again, having older brothers, I watched Robin Hood, Die Hard, you know, all these kind of movies that Alan Rickman was in. And I just thought he was amazing and he had such a presence.
Yeah.
And he's got this amazing aura. And his career just demands respect. You know, his career has lasted longer than my lifetime.
But you again, say that about most of those people.
Well, yeah, pretty much, yeah. But I mean, he's a nice bloke as well. And I've actually been doing theatre back in the UK for the last 6 months, and that was because he suggested that I do that. You know, definitely someone I've been inspired by.
How were you at theatre when you sort of, you know, started treading the
ball? Well, I hated it to begin with because it was just so different from anything I was used to.
Did you get your kit off like Daniel Radcliffe?
No, I kept my clothes on for this one. I thought that was just too much. I had to concentrate on the performance.
Yeah, right.
The clothes could stay on. But I had to, I just changed my whole style of acting. It was just so unusual. By the end of it, I just suddenly realised what it was that brought people back from film, from Hollywood, to do the West End and stuff like that. I realised what it is. It really is a foundation for everything that we do, and I'm so glad that I did it.
It's something like, I mean, I was just reading on the weekend that Kevin Spacey is now in London, not West, not...
Is it the Old Vic? Yeah, Richard III, is it? Is that right?
That's right, the Shakespeare, Richard III,
Yeah, he's supposed to be brilliant, apparently.
It's, you know, these people that have done such amazing work on screen, it's almost like they just want to throw the easy job away and go back to the hard stuff.
Because you are very much out of your comfort zone. And when an actor's pushed and challenged, that's when I think they do their best work.
Sweet. And that's not the only thing. I know you're, so we've got the stage, we've got the screen. When I saw you at the opening of the Harry Potter exhibition, which opens properly in November at the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney, you're wearing a Rabbitohs jersey.
Yeah.
Now, was that Russell Crowe spawned or was that your Burgess mates?
No, it's the Burgess boys, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know Sam before he came out here, and then he's been a big hit with the Rabbitohs. And then my mate Luke, who used to play for Leeds Rhinos, which are my team back home, I knew him through those, and we used to, you know, catch a beer together and stuff. And then he signed for Rabbitohs 3 weeks ago, so I've managed to see him a lot sooner than I thought I was going to see him. And I came down, and he said, "I'll sort you out a jersey," and I said, "Oh, I'll wear it tomorrow," and I stuck it on. And so I guess I'm now a Rabbitohs fan, definitely.
You are, and do you get to go and see a game while you're in town?
We're going to go on Sunday. Yeah, we're going to be flying back on Sunday, but we've managed to put it back so we can go see them play on the New Zealand Warriors, I think they're playing. Yeah.
But the other thing is that you played in a band, you played in Transmission. Their website's beautiful. They're saying, hey, you know, he had to leave to, you know, to we wish him all the best in his acting career. But do you still get a chance to listen to music and get into stuff?
Yeah, as much as possible. You know, music's something that when you're doing acting, you know, you're a lot of waiting around. And, you know, music's what you do. You sit around playing guitar, you listen to stuff. And music as well can help you get into such a frame of mind too. Something I learned off Dan Radcliffe, actually. You know,
Is he a musician as well?
I think he plays bass, actually. But it's just the concept that different music, you know, can invoke different emotions and feelings. And that helps when you're acting, you know, to get into a certain frame of mind.
Cool. You tweeted, you landed in Sydney to a text from M. Watson or Hermione that the movie broke box office records in Australia when it came out.
That's right. It was just, it's unbelievable. And with Harry Potter, when I first got the role, you know, I knew how big it was in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I never thought that it would get to this level, you know, to, like I said, to land in Sydney to a message saying that we're smashing these records. I mean, Dark Knight was an amazing movie. I just never thought, you know, it's incredible.
And did you think that 10 years later you'd still be playing Neville Longbottom?
No, not at all. I signed on for like a couple of films in the beginning and I thought, well, you know, book to blockbuster film conversions, what lifespan have they got? What shelf life have they got, you know? And I thought maybe they'll do one, it'll bomb. Maybe they'll do two and people will lose interest. I never thought that I'd go on and complete the whole series.
Obviously now it's either a springboard for you or like it defines you now, but it surely can springboard you into millions of things.
Well, that's obviously the hope, really. I've acted since I was 5, so, you know, 17 years, pretty much all I know I can do. So.
Well, and play guitar.
and play guitar.
Well, you said Daniel Radcliffe plays bass. Were there any other musicians in the cast?
Tom Felton's a keen musician.
That's Draco?
Yeah, he's a singer-songwriter, and he's released some tracks.
Where's the Hogwarts all-star band?
Somebody suggested it as well, but...
Surely at a rap party or something, you guys pulled out the guitar.
Yeah, well, you know, Nat Tenner, who plays Nymphadora Tonks, she's got a band. They're called Molotov Jukebox. And they played like the rap party, and they played the premiere after party, and they're amazing. She plays accordion, they're really funky kind of weird. Cool. It's really good.
It's appropriate carnival music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's mad. I'm sure just a chance of seeing Helena Bonham Carter somewhere dancing. Actually, being that she perforated your eardrum at one point.
Yeah.
Surely that actually happened.
Yeah, that happened. That was a true story. That hurt, that one.
Do you get like a peck on the cheek from Helena Bonham Carter as sort of a sorry?
She apologized. She was actually mortified. I actually ended up feeling bad because, you know, she was so upset about it. And she introduced me to Tim Burton, her husband, at the premiere. Yes. So naturally I said, you know what? I'm not going to sue you.
That is quid pro quo.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we got a couple of people wanting to know things. Emma Pedler and a few other people wanted to know, did you get to keep any cool stuff? You mentioned your mum got to keep the teeth.
False teeth, yeah.
Have you got a cardigan somewhere?
I might do, you know. I've not said it in any other interviews, but I might have a Neville Longbottom original knitwear collection.
Let's face it, Neville Longbottom is the only wizard ever allowed to enter battle in a cardigan.
That's right.
And you've got the cardigan.
I might have it at home, bloodstained and all.
Whoa, that is madness. Well, you're obviously going to hang around. You're going to see the Rabbitohs game against the Warriors on the weekend.
Yes, very excited about that.
And then what's going to happen? Are you going to get back into music? We're a music station. Is there any chance that you're going to get a bit of rock and roll going on?
Well, actually, no, I'd love to. I was a huge fan of the times when I was playing with the Transmission. They're a good bunch of guys. You know, they're doing some great stuff now as well. Now that I've left.
I'll just stop on their MySpaces after you left, is it?
No, the early stuff, that's me. That's me on there, yeah. They've not released their new stuff yet.
So would it be right in suggesting, Matthew, that Find Your Place by Transmission, that's you playing guitar?
I played on that track,
is
yeah.
That, is that the riff or the rhythm guitar?
A rhythm.
So if I was going like this. There you go. Yeah. The MP3 quality, as amazing as it is, may be a little bit too... Oh, that's pretty cool. Any backing vocals?
Not for me, no. I can't sing, mate, I tell you.
Oh, what a shame.
I was supposed to be. I'm down as backing vocals, but I honestly, when you hear them, you'll think, gee...
There you go. Transmission 1 UK is the MySpace.
Is that the one? Yeah. Just type in Google the Transmission UK, you'll find them.
Matthew David Lewis, thank you very much for coming in Triple J, dude.
It's a pleasure. Thanks very much for having me. Cheers.
Have a lovely time in Australia. And once you're done with your Harry Potter watching on the screen, get to Sydney and check out the Powerhouse Museum exhibition opening in November with all manner of nonsense, although not the original cardigan, because that's at your house.
Yeah, it is actually.